This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 1992. New heights for your English vocabulary.
Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 200 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection. With your American hosts, Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, and Michelle Kaplan, the New York radio girl, coming to you from Colorado and New York City, USA. And to get your transcripts delivered by email every week, go to allearsenglish.com/subscribe. Is your height tall, average, or short? Today we talk about two English idioms to express moving higher in any goal or area of achievement in life. Plus, find out how tall the All Ears English members are. Hello, Aubrey. I have an interesting question for you today.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, give it to me straight. How tall are you?
Ooh, I am 5'5".
Okay.
So 5 feet, 5 inches. What about you, Lindsay? I actually have no idea how tall you are.
Well, we're about the same. So I'm 5'4", 5'4 and a half in that world. So you and I are kind of the average height of an average American woman.
Yes, absolutely. I love when we're our height, that half matters, right? We'd be like, I'm 5'4 and a half.
Doesn't matter. You want to say it.
Like, whereas someone who's 5'9", 5'10", if there is a half, they're just not going to say it.
Yeah, when I was growing up, well, actually still one of my closest friends, Emma, I think she's like 5'10". And she was always kind of self-conscious about her height in high school and worried about dating boys that were shorter. At some point, she just embraced herself, which is beautiful,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And, you know, but she's a beautiful, tall woman, and we should just embrace how we are.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's especially, I mean, if someone's an athlete, all the volleyball players I know were so hoping to be 5'9", 5'10", because then they could get that scholarship, right, when you need that height. Mm. But for a lot of us, it's fine to be average. Doesn't matter.
I was just reading an article in the New York Times, actually, about that, about very, very tall people. How they're always asked, recruited for the basketball team, and asked, did you play basketball? And for some of them, they get annoyed with it, right? Because
yeah, maybe if they're not athletic, like, no, yeah. I'm just tall.
True. There's so much here. And this is especially interesting nowadays for us as a remote team and for our listeners, because we don't know, you and I have never met in person. I've worked in person with Jessica and with Michelle, but you and I, you joined our team in 2019. We've never been in the same physical space.
I know, we hit COVID and all of our great plans to meet up and do this, it was wrecked. So yeah, we've never been in the same room. It's kind of crazy. I actually assumed you were taller than that. I thought you were maybe like 5'9".
Okay.
I don't know why. You have a big personality, a tall personality.
I love that. I love that. Well, yeah, I think it always ends up being different than what we think, right? For some reason, every time I meet someone, it's sort of the opposite of what I thought. You know,
that happens to me too. I'm curious. I actually don't know how tall Jessica and Michelle are either. Are they about our height?
Yeah, taller, Jessica shorter? Is a little taller. So you're gonna have to ask her how tall she is, but I think she's closer to 5'7", maybe 5'8". Okay. And Michelle is, I think, like 5'3" in that region.
Oh, really?
Or 5'4". I don't want to quote them because I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Something like that.
Eyeballing
it. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I think it would have been the same for me. I'd meet them and be like, oh, you're taller than I expected. Or, oh, you're shorter.
Yeah, who knows? It's so funny. So anyways, this is what we're getting into today, because this can totally be a connection topic for our listeners. Maybe they also have remote colleagues that they've never met in person. Right.
Yeah. Right. It's kind of fun to meet someone in person and share. Don't be afraid to be like, oh, you're taller than I expected. Or you know, just kind of chat about what were the expectations and why. It's an interesting thing to talk about.
Yeah. So did this come out of a listener question then?
Yes, we had a listener that asked us about the word height.
Yeah.
And we're going to share a common mistake to avoid. And we'll also share two idioms with the word height. So we have a lot of great stuff for you guys today.
Yes.
Do you want to share this listener question for us, Lindsay?
Yes, let's go. Let's do it. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. Dear Lindsay, Michelle, and Aubrey, I've been listening to your podcast since 2016. I'm so glad that you're still active up to now. So many things happen, but your podcast always holds a place in my heart. I love that, Aubrey.
I know. It's so fun.
Well, we keep our listeners in our hearts too, right? We think about you guys
Absolutely.
All the time. How can we make your life life better? How can we learn in a new way and focus on that connection, right? Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Please keep up the good work, she says. I'm writing this email to ask you a question regarding ways to talk about a person's height. So a few days ago at my part-time English class, I was asked to rewrite the sentences. He is 1.67 meters tall without changing the meaning. And I came up with this sentence. He is 1.67 meters in height. The teacher said it was incorrect and that it should be his height is 1.67 meters. While I think the teacher's sentence is correct, I wonder if my answer can be considered an alternative, as I found some examples of such use by researching online and I find it confusing. Thank you so much for your attention. I wish you a nice weekend. Yours sincerely, Jiang. Wow, what a great listener. What a great question.
I know, right? I love this letter, this email, this comment. I'm not sure exactly where it was left, but thank you. Thank you for sending in your questions.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is an interesting one. I have a feeling this has happened to me as well in classes at school. And I have a feeling you guys out there have had this happen where you're corrected and you're pretty sure that's not right, or you're not positive. So then you try to Google and you get conflicting advice. What a frustrating, confusing situation to be in.
Yeah, you end up in forums. It's an awful place to be trying to Google what's grammatically correct. It's so frustrating.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so this is interesting because Jiang's sentence is grammatically correct, right? You can mm-hmm. say he is 1.67 meters in height. But I have a feeling that that teacher may have corrected it because we don't often say it that way anymore. It feels very formal. It feels sort of a little old fashioned. So I wish that teacher had made that clear if that's why they were correcting it. It's also possible English isn't this teacher's first language and they might think it is grammatically correct. That definitely does happen, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But though it is correct, I actually wouldn't recommend saying it that way just because I don't hear it that way very often.
Right. And our whole reason for existing at All Ears English, again, is connection, not perfection. Mm-hmm. So we're always going to steer you towards more so what's going to help you connect. Yes, it's good to be correct. You should know what's correct, but you should use what's going to put you on the same level as the people around you. What's going to help you to emotionally connect with people in front of you, right, Aubrey? I don't know how to say that, but
you don't want to break the connection by saying something, whether it's grammatically correct or not, that will sound just a little bit off to native speakers or to language learners. Yeah. So just because it's not used very commonly, I would say instead he is 1.67 meters tall.
Yes.
Or I wouldn't even say what the teacher recommended. This is kind of strange when teachers are like, rewrite this sentence. It's like, but the sentence I have is the way we say it. It makes the most sense.
Right. So in today's episode, that's why I'm excited for today. We'll show you the what we actually say and also some common mistakes. Right, Aubrey?
Yeah, let's dive into this.
Yeah.
We sometimes will hear students eliminate the measurement word. We'll share some examples here so that you're clear on what this means. And this is a very common mistake that you'll want to avoid. We'll hear someone say, you know, I am 5'5 tall, and they've eliminated feet or meters. And there's a reason this happens, because sometimes we do just say, I am 5'5".
Right. When you and I hopped on, I'm pretty sure if we go back into our transcripts, we're going to get a quote that says, I'm 5'4.5", right? I'm 5'5".
Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm 5'5".
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't say I am 5'5 feet.
Right.
Or I don't say I am 5 inches, 5 feet, usually, right? It's
right.
We just drop that to be quick. I'm 5'5".
Yeah. So what the mistake is here, guys, that we're hearing out there in the world is that students are combining two ways of the slangy way, 5'5", mm-hmm. combining it with putting tall at the end, right?
Exactly.
I'm 5 feet, 5 inches tall. So we're putting it all into one sentence. That does not work. Right, Aubrey?
Exactly. And you can, if you say that, this is rare, but if you say the whole thing, which is kind of long, I am 5 feet, 5 inches tall. Yes, that's correct, because you still have the feet and inches. But what you can't do, just like you said, Lindsay, is have this very short and slangy way, I'm 5'5", and still say tall. I'm 5'5 tall. Oh, that doesn't work.
No.
If you're going to say tall at the end or in height, then we have to say feet or meters or inches. So it's like you said, it's either the full long thing or the very, very shortened bit. You can't go halfway.
Yeah, it's kind of like you like dipped your toe into slang and then you came back out.
Right. That could try to have the best of both worlds.
That could be a fun episode to try to plan a good challenge for one of these days, Aubrey is like, what are some expressions where people do half slang and half formal, or half slang and half just the textbook way of saying it? It doesn't work. It just bombs completely, right?
Yes, this is one of those. And I know there are more. I feel like this is a very common error when you go to try and shorten something, to try and make it slang, to accidentally drop necessary words or add a word that shouldn't be there. And all of a sudden it sounds really off, and it's a sort of a glaring error. So yeah, that's a good idea. We'll have to keep an eye out for more of those.
Yeah, that's a great one. Guys, hit follow on All Ears English wherever you're listening. If you are watching in YouTube, hit subscribe. But if you're an Apple Podcast, Spotify, hit follow now so you don't miss that episode when it comes out. So any other common mistakes we need to know about, Aubrey?
This is the main one, right, that I've heard. But also, there are a couple of idioms with the word height. And we, of course, we always hear errors with idioms because they have to be used word for word often, right? We can't switch them up and change them around. So we're going to share a couple of idioms and exactly how you need to use them with examples so you can use these to up-level your vocab.
I love it. I love it. So let's get into it. I'm going to give our listeners our first idiom here, and then we'll talk about what it means, right? So
nice.
Idiom number one, new heights. Definitely meaning to improve, right? To make something excellent, make it better. Would you say
exactly.
So, Aubrey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we use this a lot of in business English as well. We'll say like, we're taking our company to new heights. Just means we're improving something. We're trying to really make it better.
Yes, I love it. So this might be something you might see like in a brochure of a company, a webpage of a company, a CEO giving a speech, inspirational kind of talk, broad ideas. Would you say so?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because there is a literal meaning, right?
Yeah.
A new height. I'm going to hike to new heights means like I'm going to hike a higher mountain, right?
Yeah.
But there's also this idiomatic meaning, just means to improve it in any way. So like you said, you might see it in a brochure, hear it in a business meeting. You could use it about your language learning, right? And say, this goal will push my language learning to new heights. It's just a very interesting way of saying it will improve it.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to bring to new heights? Anything you're working on specifically right now, Aubrey, that you would like to push to new heights? anything at all?
I think like the time I spend with my children, especially one-on-one, I really have a goal to, because kids, like you can tell them you love them. You can tell them you care, you can buy them gifts, but sometimes their love language is just quality time. And there's nothing that can replace that, right? So I want to take my relationship with my kids to new heights by really figuring out what is their love language. What do I need to do is, if that's quality time one-on-one, that's what I need to make time for, you know?
I love it. You got to have them take the survey, the love language survey.
Exactly. I think I have it figured out from each of them, but then sometimes they'll surprise me, right?
Yeah, you never
and sometimes
know.
It's multiple. They need words of affirmation and they need quality time and they need gifts.
They need
it's almost
everything.
Like a child hasn't figured it out yet. They need it all.
Right. They're sampling everything.
Right.
It is a true connection skill to be able to mirror someone's enthusiasm in English. But to be able to do it, you need the right vocabulary and strategies. Lindsay and I show you how to do it in an episode coming up soon, which you don't want to miss. So make sure you hit follow on All Ears English. Just hit the follow button wherever you like to listen, and we'll drop right into your listening queue.
I love it. Okay. Do we have another one? A second idiom? What is it?
This next one is to reach great heights, which means to achieve a high level of success in a particular activity. So for example, an athlete, you might say he reached great heights in his baseball career. It means he was very successful at baseball.
Also a very, both of these idioms today are very, you know, presentation-ish, right? Brochures, websites, like we said before, speeches, motivational speaking. They're very broad, okay? So they're good, but just in the right moments, right? If you're getting into the weeds and the details, we don't want to be using these because people are going to be annoyed that you're being too broad and not specific enough. right?
Yeah, right. If someone were to ask you, like, what is a specific thing I can do, a specific thing I can change, and you just said, you just need to reach great heights. No, that doesn't help me. It's true. It's very big. It's very broad, talking about high level of success. And so it is more like in a motivational meeting, right? A boss might be like, yeah, we are ready to really reach great heights together. And so it's just something to sort of boost you and say, hey, we want to achieve great success.
Yeah.
Then we'll get into the nitty gritty, into those details.
Exactly. I love that. And it can also be, you know, when people are applying for jobs, right? That kind of scenario, cover letters, these can be red flags when people speak broadly with these big grand ideas and there's no specific examples or data, things like that. So just be careful as we're learning these that you use them at the right times, guys.
That's such a good point, right? You don't want to put in a cover letter or resume, I'm good at reaching great heights. No, right?
That's not great helping heights us. In my other job.
Reach great heights in previous positions. And instead, I want to know exactly what have you done? What are your successes? What are your skills, right? That's a really good point. That's not the place for these.
For sure. I love it. So let's show our listeners how these fit into a role play, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. So in this role play, you and I are at a friend's college graduation at a posh hotel.
Bonus
was your graduation at just like at the school or was it at like a fancy hotel?
Oh my gosh. I grew up in a very middle class town in New Hampshire. Our prom was in the high school gym, right? Our graduation was on the football field. But as I've grown up, I've met people and have said, oh, our prom was at this hotel or this fancy marketplace downtown. I'm like, what?
What? You didn't just have it in your gym cafeteria?
What are you talking about? What about you? Did you have a posh fancy?
The graduation was just like in the gym because it was a very small graduating class. So we didn't even have to go out on the football field. It was just in the gym. But we did have, there was a commencement dance 1 year. I remember that they had in like a hotel in town, which, that felt so fancy.
That's so fancy. Sometimes I wonder where do high schools get the money for that kind of thing? To rent out a hotel for a night is not cheap.
It's true. I do remember our tickets. They did pass some of the expense along to us. The ticket to go was a little pricey, but
interesting.
I guess I remember we were excited. So I guess we didn't mind.
Yeah. Prom's an exciting moment for high school kids in the U.S. Maybe we'll do another episode someday about these events in high school life, right?
Yeah, I'm curious how that is in other cultures, if that exists, probably. Mm. But yeah, it's true. It's pretty important in the U.S. Yeah. All right, let's dive into this role play. I'll start us out.
Okay.
This is quite the venue. They've taken it to new heights this year.
True. Last year it was at the school, so this is so much fancier.
I'm excited for Mark to be graduating. Do you know if he has a job lined up?
Yeah, he got a job at a law firm. I think he'll definitely reach great heights in his career.
Nice. So we used both of those idioms here. Let's kind of point them out. I first said they've taken it to new heights this year, which is a fun way to say, this is much improved. This is better than last year when it was just at the school.
Yeah, that's a fun way to say it's almost like using kind of an analogy kind of here, which is cool. It sounds cool. I said, I think he'll definitely reach great heights in his career. And again, be careful. It could sound a little cliche, this phrase, I think, if we're not careful about how it gets delivered, I think.
Yeah, I can see that. It's true when we think about who are we? Maybe we're the parents of kids that are graduating from college. This is maybe something I would say, right? Someone got a great job at a law firm. Oh, he's going to reach great heights in his career. It's such a broad overall just saying like, I know he's going to be successful.
Exactly. Like I'm thinking of another scenario where this would work. Let's say you're hosting a graduation party for your kid who's graduating and their friends, and you're giving a speech as the host. Mm. These kids have worked so hard. I'm so excited to watch them reach great heights in their early careers. Fine. But if you're one-on-one and you start using that, people are going to be like, am I talking to a human being or am I knock, knock? Like, what's going on? Right? Why are we being so vague and so cliche?
Formal, really. Yeah. It's a pretty formal expression, right? Most of us just one-on-one just be like, he's going to do great things. Exactly. I know he's going to be successful. Yes. Oh, he's going to be a great lawyer. That's more likely what we would say when we're just chatting with a friend, right?
Yeah. So on this show, guys, we want to show you not just the words, not just how to be correct, but how to connect, which means read the room, right? When are you presenting these phrases that feel broad and big? And when do you want to speak more like a human one-to-one?
That's such an important skill at our listeners' levels.
It's so true. Such a good point. I want to share one quick little bonus phrasal verb that was in the role play. You had said, or I said, do you know if he has a job lined up? Which really means like for something to be arranged, that's for something that will happen, right?
Yeah.
So this is really a great phrasal verb instead of the more formal way of saying like, do you know if he has a job yet? Or it just is so informal and friendly to say, oh, does he have a job lined up?
Yeah, I would definitely prefer, do you know if he has a job lined up versus do you know if he has a job yet? Because yet kind of so nags the lack of, right?
Yeah. That feels so much more judgmental to say like, do they have a job yet? Like you think it's a problem if he doesn't, where, you know, it's a kid graduating from high school. This feels, the nagging isn't there, the pressure. It's like, oh, does he have a job lined up?
Exactly. Like,
it would be fine if he doesn't.
Yeah,
that phrasal verb adds just a little bit of informal feeling.
It really does. Certain words can really indicate a tone. Big time, big time. So good stuff. What's the takeaway? Where should we leave our listeners in terms of their mindset, their thinking around this?
Yeah, I love what you said, Lindsay, that when you're learning idioms, it is so important to think about how formal are they? What situations would you want to? That's not something you can learn in a textbook or online with just a list of idioms, right? You need our podcast, like we're going to go into this every time. Where should you use these? When would it feel too formal? Yeah. And I think that's so important that you, when you're learning English, that you think about that with every new phrasal verb, with every idiom, you know, when is it appropriate to use this?
It's so true, guys. So if this is where you're at with your English, if you're looking to push to that advanced level, high intermediate level, hit follow on this show. Hit follow, hit subscribe on YouTube, wherever you want to consume the show. We're out 4 days a week. Good stuff. Okay, Aubrey.
Awesome. Thanks. So fun, Lindsay.
Yeah, great episode. And it's fun to talk about height. I love that concept. I love it. So good.
I know. I'm glad I finally got to learn your height. Jessica's and Michelle's, I had no idea.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to All Ears English. Would you like to know your English level? Take our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/fluency score. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.